Too late. The highest number is the highest political prosperity.
Okay, we're going to call the Finance Committee meeting to order. We have Representative Brown, Terrio, Foster, myself, Larson. Therefore, we have four. We're waiting for two more and we'll be ready to go. Who's that man with the suntan?
Just get it out here.
John Bitney's on the line, if he could come down.
Well,
thank you for coming to work today.
What are you doing, Mr. Chairman?
Hello there, Representative Martin. We have House Bill 65, which has been in subcommittee.
You swim?
Yeah. What are you going to? Not called to bear.
Carried by Representative Terrio.
Gene?
Right, Gene?
I'm making two now.
You got this one, you got the ATT.
Hey, it's Lexi Terry Martin came in here.
John, just so that you and Jay remain the
company. I'm going to wind it up with John.
The Alaska Commission on Post-Secondary Education, the Department of Fish and Game, the Department of Labor, the Alaska Police Standards Council, the Department of Natural Resources, and the Department of Environmental Conservation, relating to the administration of State Insurance Catastrophic Reserve Account, relating to the provision of group life or group health insurance for state employees, authorizing the Department of Natural Resources to accept certain donations for parks and recreation, relating to fiscal reporting and accounting by the Department of Administration, and extending the suspension of certain tax credit provisions and amending Alaska's Rule of Probate Procedure 16D and providing for an effective date. And we now have a quorum. This bill had been in subcommittee chaired by Representative Terrio. He has prepared the work draft that's before us, and I would move then and ask unanimous consent if there's any objections to the work draft being the official document before us. Hearing none, then that's the official document before us. Representative Terrio.
Hey, Mr. Chairman. Just want to go through some of the sections real quick. The first almost 10 pages deal with the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board, and we only made one slight change in that. What we're doing in statute here is going from an annual permit to a biannual permit, so the dollar amount is just doubling. The one small change that we made was that the department had proposed also doubling the delinquency penalty fee, and we disallowed that. So that takes us all the way through to the bottom of page 10. Sections 32 through 35 enables the Office of Public Advocacy to charge fees for public guardians based on eligibility to pay. Sections 36 through 43 authorizes the assessment of 1% guarantee fee to offset losses from student loan debt cancellation. Section 44 amends the statutes to pay the vendor compensation from the Fish and Game Fund instead of the general fund. That was a That's a switch that's being made to match the operating budget change. Section 45 enables the department to set fees by regulation for administering examinations and processing applications for special boiler and pressure vessel inspector commissions. The subcommittee did not make a change to that section. Section 46 amends the certificates of fitness chapter by eliminating the current statutory requirement that plumbers and electrician certificates are valid for 1 or 3 years, and gives the department the authority to set the time frame by regulation. And that language at the time was the same as Senate Bill 99, which is the omnibus fee bill that's being considered in the Senate. Section 47 sets fees for applying for a journeyman level certificate of fitness. Section 48 amends the Alaska Police Standards Council powers section by adding the authority to issue regulations to collect fees for processing the applications for state certification of police, probation, and parole officers and correctional officers. Subcommittee did not make a change to that section. Section 49 amends the employment agency statute by increasing the application filing fee for employment agency permits from the current $10 to $100. Time frame for issuance was set in regs to so that it's annually. It's my understanding that fee has not been changed since almost statehood, or perhaps before statehood. Section 50 amends the definition of program receipts statute to exclude money the state receives from administering group insurance programs. Currently, Aetna reimburses the state for administering the health insurance program. This will classify the funds as benefit system receipts instead of general fund program receipts. Sections 51 through 52 amends the state insurance catastrophe reserve account statute by depositing insurance claim settlements into this account instead of to the general fund. And failure to comply may require the state to reimburse some federal funds. Section 53 through 59 allows the state to self-insure. That is one of the amendments that was accepted by the subcommittee. Section 60 allows the Department of Natural Resources to accept cash or other donations to support state park operations, and we did change the wording from shall to may to make it permissive. Section 61, page 18, line 3, overnight was deleted. Page 18, line 13, limiting the sale of merchandise for information or educational purposes, we removed the word enjoyment. And what we wanted to get away from was the Department of Natural Resources selling goods that we felt should be sold in the private sector. We wanted them to be able to sell maps and interpretive brochures, but keep them out of the business of selling film and other things that we felt should be provided in the private sector. Page 18, line 16, we inserted the word developed facility and deleted developed trailhead, access site, or picnic site. So developed facility now encompasses those three things. Section 62, let me just flip to that one real quick. Deals with DEC. We clarified on page 18, line 24, that direct costs do not include travel. Representative Foster had some concern that for businesses that are out in rural Alaska, where a DEC personnel have to fly out to inspect and certify stuff, that they could get socked with all the travel cost, which is real expensive in rural Alaska. So we clarified that the travel cost is not to be charged back to the person who's applying for the certificate or permit. Let's see, we removed sections Remove the current authority to charge a fee for hazardous waste permits. Authority to charge fees for the following activities that were proposed in the judiciary draft were removed in this work draft, and that is hazardous waste management facility sites, sewage and industrial waste disposal or treatment plants, controlling the application of pesticides and broadcast chemicals, maintaining the health and safety at facilities subject to regulation under AS 1835-220 or AS 4446-020, and filing information with the state emergency response, the CERC, under AS 4613-010. Section 63, we again deleted the indirect. And just left the direct costs language there. Section 64 suspends. Basically, what it does is it continues the suspension of the campaign contributions refund program that the state had a number of years ago. That program has been suspended for 7 years, but instead of repealing that section from the statutes, it was just suspended and it popped back up into the statutes this January. The reimbursement was provided for a refund for political contributions and child care credits. And although that was subject to appropriation, and no appropriation was made in this year's budget, the department had some concern that they would have to issue forms and start collecting up data in case the legislature did appropriate money next year.
Okay, Representative Terrio had a question by Representative Martin.
Rather than suspend it, why don't we just repeal it?
Well, Representative Martin, I was a little bit concerned that some people might have a problem with actually repealing it. So in the draft CS, we just suspended it. And I wanted to bring that back to the full committee's consideration.
Representative Martin will probably have a bill next year for repeal.
I've had bills from about 6 or 8 years ago. But you on it too.
It's my understanding that Representative Hanley was staff at the time.
He remembers that well too.
Okay, Section 65 repeals AS 1326-410 regarding the Office of Public Advocacy, which, let's see, deletes uniform accounting requirement that DOA must monthly and annually prepare reports showing financial condition and monthly transactions of each fund. It was a requirement that generated outdated reports, and the reports are automatically generated. Section 66 is a new section which makes reference to the new state air quality program. Section 67 is a set of temporary fees the Department of Natural Resources will operate under while they are drafting up regulations for the fees for the use of state parks. Section 68 through 67 are technical in nature, and section 74, we removed the however clause referring to the air quality bill.
Okay, any questions, Representative Terrio, Representative Brown?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I had a couple. The first one is section 46, where the judiciary were, I believe what you said was we were leaving it in regulation, and that's what the old backup said, but it sure looks like we're saying 2 years.
You're right, Representative Brown. Right.
So
it was one or three, and the Department of Labor just asked that be set as two. So it would be,
so they didn't want to have it in regulation? They wanted
No, that's right. We negotiated that out with them, basically, and took the language to actually set it in statute.
Okay. Then if I could go quickly to page 18, section 62, the... material that we are removing regarding hazardous waste and plan approvals and permits for sewage systems and water, wastewater disposal systems. Why are we taking out those words? Actually, it's on page 19 at the top under number 3 and 4. Why are we taking those words out?
Somebody here from the department.
Welcome on this bright, sunshiny afternoon.
I'm so pleased to be here, Mr. Chairman.
So are we.
Representative Brown, as to the deletions made in what was paragraph 4, sewage systems, treatment works, wastewater disposal systems, that's a technical amendment because that those plan approvals and permits have now been added up in subparagraph A on page 18. And the hazardous waste permits has been removed. The department did agree to that since we do not have the necessary statutory authority to obtain approval or primacy of the hazardous waste program from EPA. It is something that is not funded by the state in the department's FY94 budget. It would be our hope to look at the totality of what we would need to obtain primacy for RCRA and come back in with a bill that would do everything that we need. We need some changes to our criminal code. We would need some fee authority. And I believe that there are some other technical changes that we need in the statute.
So then, if I could just ask one more. In section 63, that is the temporary section that gets repealed if the other law
takes effect? That's correct. Mr. Chairman, we, in order to make it cleaner so that it could be repealed easily, it was taken out of section, what is now section 62. Specific authority for the fees were put in section 63. We already have those fees on the book, and then it is repealed at the time that the fee authority under House Bill 167 is approved by the federal administration.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just had one more on section 65, which is a different section, and I think that's the old, or you mentioned that refers to the OPA reports, and this note says here that it's an outdated provision, but are we going to stop requiring these reports, or why are we repealing these sections in section 65?
Again, I'd ask the Department of Personnel to.
Ms. Fresca.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Brown, it's two repealers. One relates to OPA, the 1326410, earlier sections provide OPA the authority to charge based on ability to pay for public guardian services, and then 3705210 repealed a current requirement that the Department of Administration produce monthly reports on the balances and the various funds that exist in the state, and with our new accounting system we can do that online basically. So it's an outdated requirement, so it repeals that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, do we have any further questions?
I do.
Chairman McLean.
Under section 49, there's an increase for fees for filing of an application for a permit to $100 from $10. Could you explain why there's such an increase?
I'll defer to Cheryl. It's my understanding that hasn't been increased since statehood.
Mr. Chairman, Representative McLean, that fee was last increased in 1950. So there's only 8 agencies to which it will apply.
Okay, thanks. The other question that I had, and this is just technical, on section 61, you deleted the word enjoyment, and so I thought maybe you may want to delete it under line 22. Line 20. Section 61, page 18.
Yeah. Madam Chairman, subsection 12 there, which is line 18 through 20, that's a program. And we're allowing them to charge a fee. I know at McKinley Park, well, actually that's the federal operation, but if they have a program that basically is giving you information about the cultural history, history of the park, outdoor skills, how to enjoy the park more, that's different than if they're selling stuff like film and so on.
Thanks.
Representative Martin?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was concerned with our parks and places that seniors may go and veterans may go. Do we still maintain that for our parks, the seniors or veterans may have that tag, free entry? We're not adjusting that, are we?
I don't believe there's any adjustment in here, Representative Martin. I don't think any of this section speaks to that. And I don't know if somebody from Natural Resources is here or not. I know they were going to try and track down Mr. Johansson to make sure that he was here this afternoon.
But as it is now, the veterans and seniors still have the free tag they can go for.
To tell you the truth, I can't answer that. Okay.
Further discussion? Representative Brown.
Can we go back to Section 64 for just a second? No. Are both of these sections here
not this section
dealing with the political contribution, or doesn't one of them deal with dependent care?
Yes, Representative Brown, one was a child care credit. It was, they are together, and they were both suspended at the same time, but then suspended for the past 7 years.
Did you think about the policy of reenacting the child care credit?
Well, that's part of the reason why I chose to, in the draft CS, just continue the suspension until that can all be considered through legislation, through the normal committee process.
Any further discussion or questions? Do we have any amendments? Are there any amendments to House Bill 65?
I'll move it out with individual. Mr. Chairman?
Chairman McLean?
I have an amendment to offer on behalf of the Speaker.
Okay. Helen will pass them. Okay, we will title this an amendment number one. It says, Alaska Statutes 4205A10B is amended to read, B, beginning February 15, 1991, the Commission shall accept applications to provide competitive long-distance telephone service and shall approve or reject applications within 180 days after the filing of a complete application. Formerly it read 90 days. Discussion on the amendment? Do you have anyone who wishes to speak on the amendment? Mr. Gillespie? You want to race?
For the record, Mr. Chairman, my name is Raymond Gillespie, and I represent AT&T. Is there a copy of that amendment available? Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just briefly, I think that AT&T, as most of you know, has filed documents with the FCC indicating a, a desire to go into the telephone business in the state of Alaska on a competitive basis with Alascom and GCI. Under the circumstances in which this amendment is being offered, AT&T would have to object to the amendment, ask the committee to oppose it. The circumstances are that you have a piece of legislation dealing with the financial administration of the state of Alaska. It's in the waning days of the session. This amendment would extend the period of time from 90 to 180 days. That's additional 3 full months for the commission to make a finding of whether an applicant is fit, willing, and able to provide telephone service in the state of Alaska. In the case of AT&T, I would submit that that finding should take a lot less than 90 days, let alone 180 days. The amendment is unnecessary because the APUC has the ability to control its own docket. If it gets an application that's incomplete, it sends it back to be completed. The 90 days does not begin to run until the complete application is on file. This amendment has not been endorsed by the APUC. I don't think they've even had an opportunity to take it up and consider it. No consumer group that I'm aware of has endorsed or requested this amendment. None of the or the utilities, the regulated utilities, to the best of my knowledge, have not endorsed nor requested this amendment. This amendment has not received any prior public hearing. It appears to be a rather obvious attempt to change the rules of the game late in the session to discourage a potential competitor from entering the Alaska market, or at least increase the opportunities for delay and litigation. The efforts of this administration and this legislature have been consistently aimed at simplifying and shortening the regulatory process. This amendment does just the opposite. It would lengthen it, complicate it, increase the chances of or the opportunities for litigation. There's been no publicly stated or established rationale for the additional time that's required or that would be provided for by this amendment. I think that the circumstances make it fairly clear that this is not the best way to develop good public policy, that the amendment is designed to stack the deck, if you will, in favor of an existing telephone company in the state. If people are concerned about the public interest being represented or being represented and involved in the process, I would point out that through the governor's office in Washington, D.C., Mr. John Katz, private consultants hired by the state of Alaska, members of the APUC and the FCC are all intimately involved in these decisions, and the public interest is adequately provided for in that context. Lengthening this period of time has one purpose, and I've stated it before, I think it's rather obvious, and under the circumstances, I would recommend that this committee reject the amendment. As an alternative, if the committee is going to take this amendment seriously, I would ask for a 24-hour period in which to have an official from AT&T either available in person or by telephone to testify. It's my understanding that the governor's office has objected to this amendment on this particular piece of legislation, because it could jeopardize an important piece of the budget puzzle for this year. I believe that this amendment is unnecessary, hastily conceived, and would request that the committee vote it down. Thank you.
Questions of Mr. Gillespie? Representative Muir?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to clarify the record. This is not the first time that this amendment has had a public hearing in the subcommittee. It was offered in subcommittee and it failed at the subcommittee level when we had our subcommittee meeting last week. This amendment doesn't require that the Public Utilities Commission take 180 days. It gives them the flexibility if the findings that they're making are complicated. And I spoke prior to the subcommittee meeting with the chairman of the Public Utilities Commission, also another of the commissioners, and they, while it's not a position of the Public Utilities Commission, Mr. Schroer did send a letter saying that he thought it would be a good idea. In casual conversation he said he had with other commission members, he said they thought it made sense and that they wouldn't mind having this type of flexibility. The you know, in these phone wars as they go on and on, they're pretty complicated. I was concerned there was a couple of other drafts that were offered that would have changed some of the language in this section of the law, and I was concerned about that because I think that at this time of the year the legislature oftentimes makes snap judgments on language that we really don't understand, but the attorneys and the people who are working for the telephone companies know that every word, phrase, comma, period, every single one of them costs somebody millions of dollars in the telephone wars. I didn't want to see that happen. In this case, giving the commission 180 days doesn't mean that they have to take 180 days. I think that a finding that AT&T is fit, willing, and able ought not to, they do it everywhere else. I don't think that it ought to take them 180 days, maybe not even 90 days, as Mr. Gillespie says. If that's the case, then it really shouldn't have any effect on AT&T. In those rare instances where it might take more than 90 days, and these issues are sometimes fairly complex, how competition is going to affect all of the areas of Alaska, including urban and rural areas over the long term, is something that needs to have a bit of time invested in. And I think that giving the PUC flexibility to do that is not a bad idea.
Other questions of Mr. Gillespie?
Mr. Chairman, if I can, just to clarify one point that I did make in response to Representative Navarre, there was, in fact, a subcommittee hearing last week. The amendment was not entertained, nor was there any testimony taken on the amendment at that time.
Representative Navarre?
The amendment failed on a one-to-one vote.
He's talking about
it. That's another committee.
Thank you, Mr. Gillespie. Do we have anyone else who wants to be heard? Ms. Fresco. You got to tell us what happened, right?
I'd be dead to if I got any sympathy here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Cheryl Fresca, OMB. I just wanted to elaborate and just checked with the Third Florida to confirm what the governor's position was on this amendment. And we are opposed to raising this issue at this time and including it in this bill. We're concerned that because it's a new issue that has not been explored through the previous three committees of referral, that to enter it into this discussion right now could possibly jeopardize the whole bill. So.
Okay, thank you. Representative Grusendorf?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've been sitting here thinking about this particular amendment, and also that these are dangerous times, and by dangerous times I mean towards the end of a session where we start throwing things around and putting things together and trying to move it out without much thought. It appears that we seem to be getting into a communications war between people that presently know what the parameters of the time frame is in this particular war. And with a single amendment, we are changing that without really looking closer at what is happening in that war. I'm very hesitant about supporting an amendment like this, and particularly after hearing the administration. I didn't know what the administration's views were. But over the years I've seen things like this happen. I'm not saying that maybe 180 days isn't a bad idea, but at the same time it is 90 days now, and I think we all should think about that as we go.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Chairman, I have a conflict because my husband is a member of this commission. She's the one that I don't know if I can abstain from voting here in the committee, but
object.
I'd say also, since Representative Navarre mentioned informal conversations held by members of the commission, I would say that my husband is not in agreement that this is a good idea and has said he feels it's unnecessary and would prefer us not to change the rules of the game at the time that we have a major application pending. And I believe it was agreed to by all the parties that were involved in reaching the compromise that allowed competition in Alaska that they would let this statute alone, and it's for that reason that I won't be supporting Amendment Number 1.
Does anyone else want to be heard? Mr. Reed.
For the record, my name is Ashley Reed. I represent Alascom. Alascom supports this amendment. Previous to the Alascom GCI wars that people spoke to, the time frame used to be 180 days. And I was here when agreements were made, and GCI argued adamantly that they had been fighting to get in the marketplace for a long time, and people knew what their plan was and understood their plan. And I think the companies at that time and the legislators involved at that time agreed to make it 90 days. I guess the thing that's difficult for me to understand is if AT&T's entry into the marketplace is going to bring good competition, their proposal should be such that when it's reviewed by the Public Utilities Commission, it should be read and accepted quickly. As far as the administration's position, I've talked to some people in the administration, and no one in the administration has given me any substantive reason why they oppose this amendment. They are afraid it's going to turn into a large telephone war. Alascom had some other ideas that we talked about bringing to the table and talked to some legislators about, but we did not want to start a telephone war. And GCI and Alascom, we've met on this issue. GCI has indicated to us that they support this amendment, taking it from 90 to 180 days. 180 days is not that long when you think of the complexities associated with this issue. Right now, AT&T has not filed an application before the Public Utilities Commission for intrastate service, and they've filed an application before the Federal Communications Commission for interstate service. And one thing that they propose in that application of the FCC is the elimination of the Joint Services Agreement. And for those of you who aren't familiar with the Joint Services Agreement, that brings a whole lot of money from the lower 48 that for probably 12 or 15 years has subsidized our phone rates here in Alaska and has also made it possible to provide universal service, particularly in the rural areas, at affordable rates. I have a lot of faith in the commission and their ability to do a good job. It's going to be a very complex case. The filings are going to be inches thick, and then the rate structures that they file will be more of several inches thick. And I think that if the commission can get their work done in 45, 90, or 85 days, whatever, they'll issue the application. If they need more time, what you're going to do is allow them enough time to make the decisions correctly and what's good for the public.
Questions, Representative Martin?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, one of the concerns I had here is that for years we've had the trouble, and I think, Mr. Reed, you touched upon it, with the cost of the lower 48 overriding Alaska long distance. Is that going to be impacted with the AT&T coming in, or how is that going to be worked out?
Okay. I'm not sure I understand your question, Representative
Martin.
We've
always been threatened with the excessive cost that we subsidized for in the lower 48, but I don't know if it's through AT&T or who that's through, that they've always wanted Alaska to pay its fair share. Has that been...
Mr. Chairman, Representative Martin, we Alaskans currently benefit from a fund called the National Rate Averaging Pool that was designed by the Federal Communications Commission to provide affordable phone service in high-cost areas. Alaska certainly qualifies as a high-cost area, and particularly because of the large geographic region and the sparsely populated areas. That money that Alaskans benefit from is something called the Joint Services Agreement that exists between AT&T and Alaska. It's my understanding that in the filing that AT&T made to provide interstate service, that they've asked the Federal Communications Commission to relieve them of that agreement so they would no longer have to do that. And quite honestly, that amounts to a lot of money. I think it changes from year to year depending on the usage, but I've heard figures that it amounts to $50 to $70 million a year. Currently, that money comes into Alaskom, and Alaskom pays the vast majority of it out to the local exchange companies. And I can tell you, local exchange companies, particularly in the rural areas, as well as the urban areas, benefit greatly from that subsidy. The point I'm trying to make and alluding to that subsidy is this is a very complex issue. Issues are being decided at the federal level that are going to impact our local phone companies. And at the same time, we expect to see an application from AT&T in the near future. And all that we are advocating for is that the commission have adequate time to review the measure and to determine if it's in the public's interest and how Alaskans can best be served through another competitive entry into the marketplace.
Further question to Mr. Reed.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Parnell.
Because I wasn't involved when this went, you mentioned something interested me. It used to be 180 days, and now it's 90 days. Give me a little historical perspective on why it was changed from 180 to 90, and what's different now in terms of why it should be changed back.
I think at the time, if my memory serves me, at the time, what occurred was there was a long-running battle between Alaska and GCI, and I think that that GCI had been prevented from entering the market because of some legislative fights for years. And the year that the competition bill passed, an agreement was made between the companies. Everybody understood and knew what the service they would be offering and what its impact would be. And I don't think it was any big surprise to anyone what their plans were. And it had no impact on any of the subsidies that we received from the lower 48. So I think that the legislators who were active in that issue met with the companies, and there was just a mutual agreement to advance the legislation that we would go from 180 to 90 days.
Okay. The determination that needs to be made by the APUC is that the applicant is fit, willing, and able, at least according to the amendment and the statute. It seems to me the APUC is the group that should be here telling us whether or not there's enough time to evaluate this complicated of an application. Why is there no APUC?
Chairman, Representative Farnell, I can only speculate, but I'd love the latitude of doing that. You've heard from the administration, they don't want any amendments on this bill. I think that the administration can certainly prohibit people in their administration from coming and testifying. There is a letter, I have a copy of it, I'd love to make available if anybody be interested, from the chairman of the Public Utilities Commission. And if I can quote from it, he says that he thinks it'd be an excellent idea to take it from 90 to 180 days.
I understand the necessity for more time on issues. I'm just a little reluctant to go to double the time frame without knowing what impact or effects it might have for the long term, not just for this one particular situation, but for the rest. And if you could address what other long-term effects there might be.
Mr. Chairman, I guess the only other, again, speculating, maybe one day Sprint will want to come into the marketplace. MCI has already bought a piece of GCI, I understand, so there's not a whole lot of more big phone companies out there that can enter the marketplace. So I think that what you have is the grandfather of phone companies coming to town. And I think that the issues, particularly with the subsidies and the federal issues, I think that our Alaska Public Utilities Commission will be interested in talking to the federal-state joint board, talking to the Federal Communications Commission, and understand what's being proposed and how those rate structures at the federal level, because the filing will involve the permit, but also the rate structures. When you know, there's not much good just to have a permit if you don't have a rate structure. So that'll all be part of the package. And I think that the Public Utilities Commission will be very interested and concerned in understanding what's happening at the federal level on the interstate side of the business, so they can make the good decisions for the public on the intrastate side of the business.
Okay.